Amen. Welcome and happy Wednesday to each of you. Someone who is parked, I think, out front in a white GMC, your interior light is on. So I think, in a handicapped parking place, your interior light is on. You'd probably be all right, but you may want to check it out if you're concerned. We are very delighted to have with us tonight Kevin and Rose Sandbrook, and I'll let you guys come on up, and you can introduce your team if you like once you're up here. They've been at Grace House several times now over the past years. And if you'll remember, how many years ago was it, Rose, you brought a team? We had the music thing, you know. That's when we learned the line of Judah, I'm not a tame line, that song. We learned it from the team that came from Ireland. We sing that often here still. 2018? Wow, that rolls off fast, doesn't it? Yes. Would you stretch your hands this way, please? Father, bless this couple. Thank you. Lord, that they would take time out of their schedule, having traveled all the way here from Ireland, to bless this house tonight. And we ask that you would bless them in Jesus' name. And before I pass the mic off, I want you to pray about blessing them as well. We'll have baskets at the exits when you leave. You can make your checks out at the Grace House. If you want to give by text to give, just use our special offering tab. We want to bless them for being here tonight. And you just do what the Holy Spirit tells you. It'll work out just fine. Welcome.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Well, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to be in Florence. Look at you way down there. Can't wait to meet you later. The other half, as I said, I'd like to meet the other half later. We are blessed to be here. There was some youth here a few minutes ago. Have they left the room? They have left the room. There was a girl with long, beautiful auburn hair, and she had a black tracksuit and said pink on the side. Could somebody go get her? Would that be okay? That's a wee bit like weird that I do stuff like that, but I am a wee bit weird. Prophets are a wee bit weird at times. It has been known, but honestly, it's lovely to be back here in Florence, and thank you so much for hosting us, all of us from Ireland. So the team that I have, Kevin and I have with us, the four from Northern Ireland, you stand up, please. These guys are from our church, our home church, and we're bringing them here. We brought these guys here for vision, and I'm telling you what, all they have seen is vision. Now, they walked through your church just now and went, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So I can't wait to have conversations. See what's possible. Could we flat pack it and take you all back home? That would be a good idea. And then I have two very special friends of mine. Deborah has been here before with me, Deborah Landwell, and she's from Rome, Georgia. Stand up, please, Deborah. And then I have my other friend, Covenant Relationships, these two women are, is Lorana from Canada, from Nova Scotia, originally living in Kingston. These girls have prayed us through much over the years, and we're very grateful for their relationship. There she is. Anyway, we were driving here today, and first of all, before I have the word for this young lady, if you'd like to sit down, I'll come to you in a wee minute. But to this house, I was driving down. In fact, I reached over and I spoke to Pastor Dockin Doon and said, do they have a worship school here? And the answer was no, because when I was driving down here today, I heard the Lord say, it's time for the worship school. And then he said this, they will come from near and far to this house of grace to be equipped in this hour. Worshippers who truly know their God, worshippers who know how to ascend. Because we were ascending tonight, people. Did anybody feel that? We were ascending. I know Andrew's not here, but I'm telling you what, this house, the variety, and he goes on to say that worshippers who know how to ascend and bring and usher in the glory. Worshippers who have been through the fire, and listen to this, through the fire and came out not even smelling the smoke. There's been, anybody that's up here has been through the fire, but has come out stronger than they went in, and not even smelling of the smoke. And that's what he said. So he said, so gather them, equip them, and release them. Grace House, your sound is needed in this hour. The variety, this is what he said, the variety in this sound. So there's variety in this house. We heard Randy and Donna tonight, we heard the team here tonight, but there's a variety in this house that you're blessed with. In fact, we would like to take some of you home, because I think it's a wee bit selfish that you'd have so many. Because no, there's no competition in the teams, the Lord said. They celebrate one another. The gifting is seen in this house, and it's also felt in this house. And then he said, this grace house, this is your season to ascend and worship like never before. So gather, 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 says the Lord. And I really felt that strongly. In fact, I kept saying, as I would hear about saying, no, they have a school. I think they have a school. Lord, I think they have a school. I kept saying that because I thought it was wrong. And then I had to ask the question because I was getting up with the word and I'm like, I could be totally wrong here. But I'm so glad because it was really strong. You know, you're a teaching school. You know, you're a teacher, Eddie and Mickey. But I really feel that this is a time to train and release because I'm telling you what, we need worship. It's our warfare in this incoming season that's coming at us. And if we do not know how to ascend in worship and go beyond the chaos, then I don't know what we're going to do because we just need to get above. We need to get above the fray. We need to get above the waves. And this young lady was standing over here. And I have written down here, girl, pink on her leg. You know, because I didn't want to forget you. Because I was drawn to you many times during worship. And the Lord would say, it's the time to let your defenses down. He said, it's time to release that which has caused you pain in the past fully to him. He said, it's time to forgive and let go and trust again, says the Lord. I have mysteries to show you, he said, in my word. The Lord showed me you worshiping him freely. It's almost like I see you doing this. Just twirling and worshiping him freely. And leading others to worship in the same freedom. The freedom that you personally had found in him. And he said, so daughter, and he said this, my precious daughter. I thought, wow, he's not just calling you daughter, he's calling you his precious daughter. I see you and I see your heart. So let it go, whatever that was, let it go because you're an overcomer. So it's time to overcome. Amen. I really feel that as we're growing up in life, there are some things that come at us that can contain us. And the Lord says, that which came to contain you tonight, I'm breaking off you because you're going to be a freedom bringer to many. I actually seen you teaching. I seen you standing up and preaching the Word of God. I seen you bringing people, I actually seen you prophesy to people, bringing them forward because there's such an anointing on you. My eye kept going back to you. It was like I kept going back to you. So that when the Lord does that, it's almost like there's a spotlight on you. And it's time to listen because I am telling you what, you are born for freedom. You're not born to be contained by any man. So you be free in worshiping him and just let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You know, you want to sing that, don't you? But that's what I feel because he called you his precious daughter and therefore he has a special anointing for you to step into in the days ahead. So get ready because he's coming after you. Amen. Sorry to bring you out of your class. There was a lady greeting at the door. A lovely lady doing the hand in the bag side. Is she in this room? Nobody's in the room. I'm so sorry. Oh, there she is, way back down there. This is what the Lord said to you. I have given you the gift of hospitality. Your gentle spirit and grace is evident to many, says the Lord. But many have confused your meekness with weakness. You're not weak. And in this past few years, you've come to realize how strong you actually are. The Lord says your yesterdays are not your tomorrows. And he said, I'm accelerating you in the word this year. So get ready for that. It's time to share the word, says the Lord. It's time, and you will teach many the ways of the kingdom. Because you are a kingdom bringer, not just a religious person. You're a kingdom bringer. You want to see the kingdom expand. Why? Because your cry is, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord. That is the cry of your heart. But the Lord says, that's not where I'm positioning you forever. That's where you are right now. So get ready because promotion, the Lord says, is at the door. So be ready for the next stage. I honestly seen that over you earlier, and I seen it tonight at that door. There's such a grace on you for that, and that's a wonderful gift to have, because not many people have that. And pastors don't let anybody at that door. They want that one that's just perfect for that door person. So you've been picked for that, but the Lord says promotion is coming to the door for you because you have much to give in this next season. So get ready because I'm going to teach you the mysteries of my word. I'm going to give you the nuggets out of the word, really, the Lord's saying to you. So get ready. And thank you for welcoming us so well tonight. Amen. Well, I have other things I could say, but I am not going to do that because I'm going to hand over to my husband. But one thing I do want to say, the Lord said to me on the way over to the States last month in September, I was here, and all the way over on the plane, all I could hear was, there's fire to be had. That's all I heard. I kept saying, there's fire to be had. But there's always fire to be had. And then he began to take me to all the different times in the Bible where fire was mentioned. The Lord has protection in the fire. He has covenant relationship in the fire. He speaks to us in the fire. The Holy Ghost came to us by the fire. There's much fire to be had this year. And this is a year where we're going to see the fire burn. This is a year where you better run into that fire and know your God and let him speak to you from that fire, because all this madness around us can take our focus of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we need to be so in the fire of the Holy Ghost this year, people, like never before. And I believe it with all of my heart, there's fire to be had. And then he followed in with this, for those who want it. Does anybody in this house want the fire? Amen. I want the fire. I'm after the fire. I'm running into the fire. I'm giving them everything I have through the fire. Amen.
Amen. Can I just invite you to stand just for a moment? And I just want to add my sincere appreciation to Pastors Eddie and Mickey for hosting us, and to see such familiar faces and longtime friends, Pastor Doc and Miss June and others here as well. We deeply, deeply appreciate everybody that has impacted and affected our lives. So thank you so very, very much. Lord, tonight I pray in Jesus' precious name that your strengthening power may come upon your body, that each in their sphere of influence, that the many and the few would be strengthened together in moments like this. That you would develop in us that which is latent, that perseverance and patience, that we submit to your timing, but we do not abdicate responsibility to co-labor with you to see things brought to pass. In Jesus' precious name, may your gracious Spirit fall upon us afresh tonight. And may the lingering fragrance of us having met together abide with us long after these hours of communal worship. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. And I was seeking the Lord about what he would have me bring to you tonight, and I feel very often that there are messages that travel, that there are priceless truths that are applicable to anybody, anywhere, and they are seasonal. But I said, Lord, what do you want me to bring to this house tonight? And I don't presume to teach you anything that you don't already know, but as Peter and Paul both said, it's not a problem for me to remind you of these things, and I will remind you as long as I have breath in my body. And so what I really sense is that this is a reminder of our capabilities of endurance and patience in the realm of prayer and watching. And I feel that in some way it's applicable to all of us, but perhaps particularly to some. And maybe it may speak to the longevity of vision and the willingness to see days and months and weeks pass before the fulfillment of these things. And even as it was said to Habakkuk, though the vision tarry, it will surely come. And I know in the old Pentecostal meetings, they had tarrying meetings. But I think there are tarrying moments in our lives where the expectancy, though it lingers long, never wanes in its potency. There is no shelf life on truly God-instilled expectancy. The fuel on the fire of the altar of the heart doesn't go out. And I'll mention two persons in Luke's Gospel shortly. But I want to begin by reading from Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. There are three words or parts of that scriptural verse. Always pray, not lose heart. And that speaks to me of a command rather than a suggestion that ongoing incessant prayer should be abiding in the hearts of God's children. But I also think it's possible to pray and lose heart. You just go through the motions. You go on the treadmill of prayer. And yet this speaks to me, since the heart is the very organ at the center of the body that not only promotes life, but is the reason for the existence of life, it seems to suggest to me here that men ought always to pray and retain that life-giving quality of life that is pumped around the body of Christ by the heart, that internal organ. And so the life of the prayers should be comparable to the length of the time it requires to pray until things are completed. Very often we hear, pray through. Have you heard that? Pray through. You've got to pray through. And sometimes it's a marathon rather than a sprint. Sometimes God ambushes us with answering the prayer so that the reaper overtakes the sower. It might be few and far between those moments. But men ought always to pray and not lose heart. There's an old prayer, I forget exactly the source, but I think it was either Elizabethan or sometime after that, Elizabeth I's reign. It is not the beginning of anything, but the continuing of the same, whereby it be thoroughly finished, that yieldeth the true glory. We're in it for the long haul. And maybe our contribution is not to, in our lifetime, see things come to pass, but to lay such a foundation of prayer that though we pass into glory, should the Lord tarry, we have left something of substance that a subsequent generation can say, yes, we're going to run with this. And I think if we have that mindset, it will revitalize and energize our prayer life as never before, because we live in an immediate society. Everything is drive-through. Everything is microwave. Everything is instant. And yet it is not in Scripture. And so sometimes a generation will begin something that a later generation may complete. But even if that is not so, how long are you prepared to continue to pray and stand in expectancy to see the whole thing that God has shown you come to pass? And maybe he has shown you something at the beginning of your Christian walk that you might not see the fulfillment of until you are close to going home. Are you prepared to stand with what God has shown you until you see the yielding and the answering of that prayer in full manifestation? And I think of two characters in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 2. And I am amazed every time I read this. Concerning Simeon, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. Listen, there is a blessing of God that is awaiting in your life if you tarry. And you can bless God because you can say, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace for more, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I have no idea how long Simeon had to wait, but he waited. And that waiting was not in vain. Oh, the longevity of that man's expectation could be ours also. And then we see Anna, married, husband's life cut short. Pick it up in verse 36. Now there was one Anna. Oh, did you hear that? Now there was one Anna. When you use that phrase, now there was one, it implies a special category of person. Not just there was a person called Anna, but there was one called Anna. A prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, you see, expectation looks forward to that instant where suddenly everything changes. She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I wonder whether we would discipline ourselves in the aspect of prayer to see the value of the things that God has shown us and not lose patience and stick with it until we see that instant. Then surely it would be said of us, there was one Samuel, there was one Cynthia, there was one Fred, there was one, insert your name, rather than, oh, that's just, there was one. Are you and I going to be one who tarries? One who carries that expectancy without waning? Are we going to stick with it when all the evidence surrounding us shouts and yells at us that it is not so, and yet we are the one who stands fixed, gaze upon the prophetic horizon, waiting for that sunrise of answered prayer to come? And there's no reason why any of us should say, that's for somebody else. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. There is here an impatience and wisdom that lie side by side. And when we are tempted to become impatient with the whole process, we need to see the wisdom of the Lord's perspective on something and realize that oftentimes the season is not over. It's not just not on our timeline. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this tree, this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not after that, you can cut it down. the impatience and the wisdom side by side. When you think something has died, that opportunity has gone, ask the Lord for wisdom and discernment to show you whether that actually is the case or whether still you and I need to fertilize it and dig it with our prayers before the fruit comes. We think also about not giving up prematurely. Again, it's Luke's Gospel, it's chapter 5, and we see that Peter is just about to let a dangerous person into his boat. It's always dangerous to let Jesus in your boat. But Jesus asked, could he use Simon's boat? And Simon said yes, and then his whole life changed. And of course, the boat is lent, and Jesus is grateful. He preaches, he sits down, teaches the multitudes, and then he stops speaking to the multitudes, and he speaks to Simon, who, by the way, is a professional fisherman. Jesus, in his eyes at this particular moment, is but a tradesman, a carpenter perhaps, and not a fisherman. Knows nothing about the nautical principles of sailing the Lake of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. He knows nothing about it. And yet, this man Jesus, who probably was a fine preacher, but not a fisherman, says to Peter or Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon's response was, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter had packed up for the day, basically. The day's fishing was over. He'd caught nothing. He could read the Sea of Galilee as well as any man. And yet, the Lord said, don't give up. There's a haul of fish to be caught if you do it again. And you launch out into the deep and cast down your nets. And he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. Are we impatient in our praying? Do we give up too soon? If so, we should seek the Lord and say, Lord, what is your perspective? What are you going to say to me about this situation that I have prayed long, or perhaps not? We might be surprised to hear, keep at it. Do it again. Launch out again. I'm sure Simon was weary. Didn't want to go out again. But out again he went. And it was the biggest haul of his life. How many of us give up just before the moment of breakthrough where everything would have changed had we continued to be faithful in our expectation? I want us to think about the promises of God in this way. And maybe many of us sitting here tonight have had promises of God, prophetic words that have been given to us. And it seems to have taken forever, even before a glimmer of hope, and perhaps that hasn't even come. Have you considered the length of time in Scripture before words of God's promises are fulfilled? Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, spoke into the atmosphere about Emmanuel and the virgin conceiving a child. Oh, well, that was last century. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. There's six more centuries to go. And then an instant, it happened in the fullness of time. You see, with the promises of God, there's always a fullness of time. He's never premature. He's never late. And we need that anointing of Issachar to know the times and the seasons and what we should be doing. You see, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Timing. I too am prone to moments or bouts of discouragement, very good at hiding it. You know, we are, aren't we? And the Beatles song, Eleanor Rigby, wearing a face that she keeps in the jar by the door. We put our best face on, and yet the heart can belie a different attitude altogether. And on one particular occasion, many, many years ago, I don't know, 15 years ago perhaps, our church was experiencing some financial hardship. And anyway, we'd prayed the prayers, and we blew the shofar, and we'd done the prophetic actions and left it with the Lord, and then nothing seemed to be happening. And you know, we maintain a perspective of outward respectability about these things. But sometimes the heart can sink, and it can weigh heavy. And so I found myself in that unfortunate position of having a heavy heart, but somewhat hypocritically putting a smile on my face and walking out. I don't think that's wrong. I don't think you need always to wear your emotions upon your sleeve and let everybody know what you're thinking, least of all the devil. But there I was, and this particular lady sometime before that had prophesied and said, on the 29th of November you're going to be in the United States and God is going to do something. This was 15 or so years ago. So anyway, I'd conveniently forgotten all of that, and we'd had an invitation to come and minister in a particular church, and I hadn't quite figured it out that it was actually that date of the 29th of November, that particular year. And I got into the phase where I was really carrying my own weather system. You know, you can do that. This dark cloud just follows you about, and it's doom and gloom, and people cross the street, you know, rather than have to talk to you. And even the dog was depressed. I'm sure she didn't really look forward to me going out and walking her. And anyway, we had to make a decision as to whether we were going to go. And Rose said, I need to phone this particular person and let him know if we're coming. And I said, as about as happily as I could muster, no. I said, tell him we're not coming. We'll come another time. And off I sulked, dog in tow. So I could take you to the exact spot where the Lord dealt with me. It wasn't quite the woodshed. It was a bit more kind than that. It was a telephone box. And I reached that spot, I don't know, probably 100 meters from our front door, and suddenly I had this epiphany. Oh, no, what have I done? Still not relating the date, but just this awful sense. Oh, I've just asked Rose to phone and say to this individual, we're not coming. So I turned around as quickly as I could, gave the dog whiplash. I mean, the poor thing was bewildered. I didn't care. I'm not sure whether her paws touched the ground or not. I raced to the door. I entered the door and I said, Rose, have you phoned this person? She said, no, I was praying that the Lord would change your heart. Hallelujah. So, somewhat relieved and still not connecting the date in question, we arrived in the United States ministering and few different places, and then we came to this particular church, not in this state, in another state. And our dear friend said, well, kind you got you here under false pretenses. But he had a glint in his eye, so I knew it wasn't bad. And so he began to, rather than have us minister, he interviewed us on the platform. And he said, I just want my people to know a little bit about you before we receive an offering for you. Wow. So he asked the questions, we answered the questions, and they took up an offering for us. And I say this to the glory of the Lord. The offering that came from that house to meet our financial needs and to help move us forward was $10,000. Absolutely blown away. And I realized that a lady had spoken a date that I had swept under the carpet. I had not maintained an expectancy on the back of the prayers that we had prayed, and although the time frame wasn't years, it was months. And despite the fact that we had prayed and prophesied and blown trumpets and do other things that us Pentecostals like to do to the raised eyebrows of perhaps the rest of the Christian community, but who cares? Jesus made himself of no reputation. What do you want one for? Nevertheless, a discouragement had settled. And I found that the expectancy had gone. And it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have. And sometimes it's not just the one thing. It's the conspiracy of the, well, one preacher put it this way, the accumulation of the incidental that seems to coincide. This little thing, that little thing that saps the energy, that sags the faith, and you find yourself almost faithless, just functioning on autopilot, but saying the song, singing the song, saying the phrases. That men ought always to pray and not lose heart. The heart had gone. Miraculously, by the Spirit, in that instant, we walked into that temple. It wasn't a temple, but you know what I'm saying. And God answered in the most bewildering, humbling way imaginable. And that's the thing, isn't it? Because you have to ask yourself, why does discouragement come in the way that it does? And it absorbs the focus like a black hole in space, bending the light in such a way that you cannot see beyond it to what Satan fears the most. The commitment to the endurance, maintaining the expectation until the final manifestation occurs to the glory of God. And if Satan can hamstring his people in the discipline of prayer just before the breakthrough, it doesn't matter how long they've maintained their faith, maybe years, decades up until that point. But if he can hamstring them just before they take that step into the fulfillment of the promises, he's done his job. And our responsibility is to say, I am still standing. I'm standing on the promises. I'm building my life on the rock and not the sand. The rock is his sayings. And I'm building my life upon his sayings. And the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And so, does it matter how long you have to stand? Does it cost you anything to stay standing? Emotionally, what currency does it matter if you feel dejected from time to time? If you don't exchange your despondency for the promises, you can still momentarily be despondent yet faith-filled. And that is the truth of the matter. Because emotions, dear friends, do not equal outcome. We're of the Spirit. We're spiritual men and we're spiritual women. And so emotions sometimes do what they have to do. I remember one time we were selling our house, looking to move. And it just didn't seem the right time. Nothing was coming together. And this went on and on and on. And I just stepped out one day from Rose's mum's apartment. She was still with us back then, to walk the dog, a different dog, not the same dog. But this time it was all, and you'll love this, Andrew, where are you? Sunshine and rainbows. It was all sunshine and rainbows. That's a phrase that one of our team uses. We all have our little phrases, by the way. Smiles and smiles along the way. It keeps us going. But I stepped out and it was a clear blue sky and the Lord said to me, there's a favorable wind that's blowing. It's time to set sail. But it wasn't S-A-I-L, it was S-A-L-E. And so with that, I came back and I explained exactly what Rose had said, what the Lord had said to Rose, and we agreed upon it. And that interjection by the Lord and the process of just putting something before him was the hinge upon which everything turned. In all honesty, we didn't really have time to set the house for sale. We didn't have time to prepare for all the other stuff that is involved in selling a house. But I want to tell you, the Lord's timing was absolutely perfect. The house that we're living in, we couldn't even view at the time because we were away on a ministry trip. And so our daughter popped in and showed us photographs and we said yes. And we had a very small window of opportunity once it all agreed to move in and everything slipped into place. But that's the whole thing, isn't it? The timing of the Lord and the obedience of God's people when we step forward in that way. And this brings me, almost in closing, to this principle. I think if we're aware enough, we can hear the sound of the abundance of rain before we see the manifestation. But even though we hear the sound of the abundance of rain, there is still the responsibility to pray it through until that manifestation comes. And so it is never about sitting back and letting God. There's a partnership that's involved. However long, however short, it's partnership from first to last. And of course, Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord, which had broken down. The sacrifice, a rightly aligned altar, a rightly prepared sacrifice, and then the fire fell, and then he hears the sound of the abundance of rain. But you see, there's the test. Because hearing or sensing something prophetically can be counterproductive if we allow the frustration of the time scale to interrupt the process of our praying so that we take our foot off the gas. No, it's pedal to the metal until that thing is fulfilled. And so what we see with Elijah is that he sends his servant seven times. He's praying. He's adopting the Middle Eastern birthing position. He's crouching down. He's got his head between. He's interceding for something because he's heard it. For Anna, 84 years. Simeon, I don't know how long. But both of them, by the Spirit, knew that the time had come. And do you know what? They were in the right place at the right time. Not only to receive the instruction of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have to take a bus ride and a plane ride to get to where they should have been. They were right at the right place at the right time and just walked in that minuscule moment where Mary and Jesus bring the Christ child in. Talk about serendipity. Talk about an intersection between heaven and earth. But it was years in the making. But sometimes we have to pray it through. We hear the sound of the abundance of rain, rather like the antelope on the Serengeti. I don't know what it is with wildlife programs. You watch it, it's all to do with Africa. There's a long drought, isn't there? And it's always the antelope's nose that's twitching. They show that on the screen where the rain is, they're smelling the rain. It's always an antelope. I don't know why. And here's a freebie for you. I can disprove evolution right now. It's very easy. If evolution was true, every antelope would have a picture of a chair on its backside. And the reason why I say that is because you ever watch a lion tamer, he's got a chair there and he's taming the lions, and the lion can only focus on one point. He doesn't know which foot of the chair is going to come at him. So anyway, you can impress your friends or not, as the case may be. Ponder it. You'll probably wake up roaring and laughing in the middle of the night and say, that man wasn't as half mad as we thought he was. But anyway. But seven times Naaman had to plunge in the Jordan River. He was disgusted, but he did it anyway. Seven times they marched around Jericho, which required discipline and restraint. You know, you can imagine half the people saying, here we go again, what are we doing this for? We were only circumcised the other day. You get the point. But they did it. They obeyed. And they stuck with it. And so sometimes things can look dead, but they're dormant, waiting for the right time. And I want to finish with Job. Job chapter 14 and verse 7 onwards. Just bear with me. I thought I had it marked in my page. Here we go. Well, there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again. and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. And here's the thing. There can be dry seasons before the fulfillment of a promise comes, be that what it may, be it for an individual, for a family, for a region, for a church, whatever it is. There can be dry seasons after the initial flush of excitement. And then the hard graft, the hard miles are put in. And the discouragement sets and it looks as if perhaps, well, that's just died. No, perhaps it's just dormant. And then you know how the temple was completed through the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. The prophetic word, when it comes, reinvigorates and revitalizes. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "For he has given me a tongue of the learned, the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season." You see, a word spoken in season really is a prophetic word. And Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And there, and maybe this is for somebody here tonight, that suddenly the Lord will resurrect that dream. You think it's a dead stump in the ground, and the Lord says, "Oh no, it's just lying dormant." And suddenly the streams are prophetic. Intercession begin to flow from within you. You know not why, you know not how, it is just there. And then the rivers of living water through your prayers and proclamations become the scent of water. At which that dead tree stump begins to bloom and blossom, and everything changes. You see, that's where we've got to get to. That's what we've got to remember. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. We're not on his time scale. But we can be by the Spirit. I sense it. The sound of the abundance of rain. The drought is over. It's coming. And you come in that instant, and everything changes. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' precious name that you would reinvigorate, let's stand as we finish, will you reinvigorate our faith, dear Lord, that you would show us those times when the drought is over, the long wait is nearing its ending, or at least, Lord, if not in our lifetime, that it's time to pass the baton on with all the vigor and faith is distilled into that thing for the next generation. Oh, Father, we pray that hope deferred would not be our portion. But when the promise comes, it will be a tree of life. Father, may we see the promise resurrected, beginning to sprout and grow at the scent of the water of your people's prayers. In Jesus' precious name, let us never run dry. And let us pray always and never lose heart. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Pastor Eddie.
That was a good word. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come. If you'd come at this time, those of you that are scheduled to be up here, perhaps as Pastor Kevin spoke these words over you, they have watered you. The rains fell on you and something's being stirred. Perhaps you're in a dry place and you're needing that refreshing. Whatever may be going on with you, we always want to give an opportunity for you to receive ministry. And again, I encourage you, church, to pray about sharing a blessing with Kevin and Rose for them being with us tonight. I doubt there's a person in the house that hasn't gone through a season like he's described. And there'd be many testimonies of when your moment came. But let's be aware that there may be someone really nearby where you are, that they're needing that breakthrough right now. And why don't we just bow our heads together? And you just ask Holy Spirit what prayer you need to pray and for whom. And let's just believe in the unseen realm, the Spirit of God is going to begin to touch hearts. They've already been touched through the Word. But let's, as He's encouraged us to pray, let's add our prayers into that right now. You just pray. If you don't know exactly what to pray, pray in the Spirit. And as we're praying, if you need prayer, you want someone to pray with you, just come on up right now. Just step out from where you are. Come to the front. And there'll be someone here waiting to pray with you. God bless you. Are there others? Just make your way forward. Lord, we are believing your grace, your encouragement is touching people here tonight. Lord, people are going to leave here with wind in their sail, strength in their spirit, courage they didn't walk in the building with. We are believing that together as the people of God in this house tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord Jesus, be glorified. Anyone else? Let's worship for a moment. The altar's open. to the heart of every person you meet. In the mighty name of Jesus, God bless you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand tonight for what we receive. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a wonderful week. Invite people to come back with you this coming Sunday. Have a message called Decision Day USA. Real important time in our nation. I encourage you to be here. Blessings to you.